From Swarthmore College.
From Swarthmore College,
this is...
This is...
This is...
This is War News Radio.
I'm Stuart Russell.
And I'm Sarah Dwider.
This week on War News Radio, the art of war. First, we hear about the therapeutic benefits of art for returning veterans.
Then, we learn about a new exhibit focusing on soldiers' orthopedic injuries.
Finally, we talk with the founder of the Beauty of War Project, which collects service members' art left on the walls and buildings in the battlefields of Iraq, Afghanistan, and Kuwait.
But first, a roundup of this week's news.
9 heavily armed Taliban fighters attacked the Intercontinental Hotel in Kabul, a hotel popular with international travelers and leading politicians. The militants set off explosives inside the hotel, killing at least 19 people and wounding at least a dozen more. Afghan police exchanged fire with the attackers, but the siege was not over until NATO helicopters killed the final 3 gunmen on the hotel's roof. We spoke with Afghan journalist Ahmed Lema about possible motives for the attack.
To prove that they are powerful and they can do whatever they want, even in the capital.
To listen to the interview, visit our website.
French President Nicolas Sarkozy announced on Wednesday that 2 French journalists and their interpreter were released after being held as hostages by Taliban militants for 18 months. The journalists, who had been employed by France 3 Television, were kidnapped on December 30, 2009, while reporting on a story in East Kabul. The militants had threatened to kill the journalists if their demands for the release of detainees held in France were not met. Sarkozy issued a statement thanking President Hamid Karzai for the Afghan government's work in resolving the hostage crisis.
Abdul Qadir Fitrat, the former head of Afghanistan's central bank, announced that he had resigned his position and fled to the United States because of death threats. He feared retaliation for his role in the investigation of a corruption scandal at Kabul Bank. Fitrat claimed that the bank made more than $900 million of illegal loans to shareholders, including President Karzai's brother and the country's vice president. The Afghan government has asked the United States to arrest Fitrat, asserting that he was actually involved in the scandal.
The International Criminal Court recently issued an arrest warrant for Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi, his son, and his chief of intelligence, accusing them of crimes against humanity. The court believes that thousands of civilians have been killed and persecuted by Gaddafi's forces during Libya's 4-month uprising. The Libyan authorities have, however, dismissed the warrant, saying that the court's accusation have no legitimacy whatsoever.
President Obama defended U.S. engagement in Libya, dismissing congressional debate, which has split both Democrats and Republicans, over whether he violated the War Powers Act. Obama said that his decision is legal since the U.S. engagement in Libya is of a limited duration. Despite the dispute between the president and war skeptics on Capitol Hill, the Foreign Relations Committee voted to authorize U.S. military action in Libya for up to 1 year. 5 Republicans voted against the resolution, while 14 senators, including both Republicans and Democrats, were in favor. This is War News Radio. Picking up a paintbrush or decorating a mask is something we often associate with child's play. But it turns out that art making has the power to do much more. Eliana Bisgar Church reports on the healing effects of art therapy for trauma victims, specifically for combat soldiers home from Iraq and Afghanistan.
As more and more service members come home with President Obama's withdrawal plans for both Iraq and Afghanistan, the effects of traumatic brain injury, post-traumatic stress disorder, and other psychological health problems will undoubtedly be more widespread. According to Dr. Andrew Stone, director of the PTSD clinical team at the Philadelphia VA Medical Center, of the 500,000 veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan conflicts who have visited the VA since 2002, 92% have possible mental disorders. These service members, either home between deployments or back permanently, often find it difficult to return to civilian life, families, friends, employment, education. Different types of treatments have been used, from medication to talk therapy, but there are other types of therapies less spoken about that are doing much good for these men and women. One of them is through art.
There is a lot of attention to art therapy right now. I think a lot of people intuitively understand that art is very helpful in in ways that maybe other kinds of treatments are not.
That's Kathy Malchiotti, a leading art therapist in the field for 25 years and president of the international organization Art Therapy Without Borders. According to Malchiotti, the use of art therapy for service members, especially those who have been in combat, is increasing nationwide. Art therapists have a degree in art therapy or a related field at a minimum. Many are also licensed professional clinical counselors, like Malchiotti. Art therapy traditionally takes two routes, focusing on the art making as a therapeutic activity, or using the artwork to build a relationship between the therapist and the client, a starting point for talk therapy. Malchiotti explains why art therapy in general is so successful with trauma victims.
The use of cognitive behavioral therapy is very popular, which is a form of talk therapy. But I think what people are starting to find out is, and veterans are giving us this information too by their first-person accounts, that they need something more sensory and less language-driven to process and communicate what happened to them. Because if we go through a very traumatic event, we don't have words for it. And there's a reason for that. The brain does not encode it that way. Well, if you talk to a military veteran, for example, that's been in an explosion, they may cite what they saw, but also what they smelled and what they heard. And they may not be able to describe that in words.
Art therapy has been around for a while, increasing in use with World War II veterans and more so with Vietnam veterans, but is now more widely recognized as a helpful and rewarding therapy. Expressing difficult events through a creative outlet can be a powerful healing mechanism for service members, especially those in combat. Malchiotti describes these soldiers.
The skills that they developed in being good warriors helped them stay alive and helped them protect their buddies when they were out on a mission. But those things, when they bring them back, having to eat quickly, be hyper alert, sleep lightly, always ready to respond to danger, now those behaviors are kind of getting in the way, you know, because that's not the way regular life is.
Art therapy aims to ease the effects of these behaviors. Melissa Walker, an art therapist at the National Intrepid Center of Excellence, NICO, which treats active duty service members mostly for TBI and PTSD, and also the center's Healing Arts Program coordinator, further discusses why verbal work with trauma victims is not always the most effective treatment.
They did some scans while people were creating art and when they were also verbalizing trauma. When you're trying to verbalize trauma, your left frontal lobe kind of shuts down. That's where the Broca's area, the speech area of the brain is. But the right hemisphere lights up, and that's, you know, of course, the side that we use to be creative. So they've just found that for some of these people who have been through these traumas, it's much, much easier to express themselves through a nonverbal modality.
Walker agrees with Malchiotti about the power of art therapy. She says it has myriad benefits, from beginning to talk about the trauma, to learning to relax, to increasing self-esteem, to being able to live a more normal life.
And I say, you know, I'm really just, I'm so angry, you know, I have the worst outbursts, you know, I say, well, then great, art therapy might be good for your relaxation or an outlet for you to come. Anytime you feel like you're getting angry, you can sit down and maybe get some of that out on paper. Or if they say, I'm having a really hard time focusing, well, then something that they can feel proud of is that they sat there for an hour and a half and worked on a piece of art. Because it's an extension of themselves, they can see what they've been through right before their eyes.
Art therapy is applied in response to diagnosis and symptoms. Walker at NICO and Malchiotti at her private practice both meet one-on-one with service members to decide how to best conduct the therapy. Both therapists spoke about first trying to help their patients to relax and, once comfortable, to then introduce the art activity. There are varying techniques employed and levels of engagement with the actual trauma. Art therapy, like many therapies, is practiced on a continuum. Malchiotti does a great deal of work in exposure therapy.
A lot of people that have post-traumatic stress do have actual, some very terrible memories of things that happened. And at that point, what I try to do with them kind of reflects on the whole idea of exposure therapy, in the sense that now we might be doing some actual artwork about what happened.
Malchiotti talks about witnessing what soldiers call pink mist, when a person's body is completely destroyed in an explosion.
One of the people that I've worked with recently, in this particular case, that's what this person needed to finally be able to express on paper, was what that looked like, what that felt like, and realize that that now That happened, but it's now in the past. And I think that's what the art helps with, too, because it makes it concrete. It's an image that, you know, never was expressed but is held in the body and has been disturbing. And to be able to put it out on paper and then be able to talk about it is a very powerful thing.
Within art therapy, there is quite the range of media employed and supplies used. Walker has found one in particular to be rewarding.
When I started working with the service members individually, I felt with some of them was reconnecting with their identities. Who am I since the injury? Who was I before? Why am I not enjoying the things I used to? In realizing that I thought mask making would be something that they would really connect with, and it has worked.
Walker says the service members talk about two sides to themselves, one in combat, another one at home with their families.
So their masks will literally end up divided in half, so you see half of the mask is, you know, angry and red, or this was the injury, and then half of it's serene. But we're also seeing some of them dealing with the death and the grief they experienced while they were over there. So there's been quite a few skulls, bloody tears. What else are things? Some patriotism, of course. So a lot of red, white, and blue. They really get into it. The symbolism is amazing, down to every last dot. It's pretty incredible. So I think for them, it's nice to be able to think about who I am, who am I. They put it very eloquently in one group. We're trying to find, quote unquote, the new normal. Since I was injured, what is the new normal?
Both Malchiotti and Walker have learned a great deal from the service members. Malchiotti expressed a sense of humility when working with them.
I sit there and listen and I say, I don't know, honestly, if I could have done what you were able to do. You know, and a lot of times the people I'm working with will kind of chuckle and say, no, Kathy, you haven't had the training. I always commend them. And, you know, some of the work we do in art therapy, too, is about, you know, making a collage or some kind of artwork that really capitalizes and commemorates their bravery and the skill set that they have. I just can't even imagine learning how to be able to protect people in the way that our military successfully do every day.
Walker feels a similar admiration.
They've really humbled me. I respect them. I respect what they do. I see how passionate they are about this, even if it's not necessarily the mission of the war, but just in general, their careers and then also fighting for us. I've seen many of them just be heartbroken because they can't go back and be a part of it. I mean, honestly, it's just amazing. I mean, to know what they've been through and then know that they just want to continue serving our country, I think it takes a very special person.
To view some of the service members' artwork, visit our website, warnewsradio.org. For War News Radio, I'm Eliana Biscard Church. This is War News Radio. Compared to the Vietnam era, the survival rate has escalated for American service members who have been wounded in Afghanistan and Iraq. Still, many face the reality of their service every day. Clara Izupidis takes a look at a new exhibit of works created by those whose lives have been affected.
2 years ago, Sandra Gordon was sitting at her desk at the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, reading about war injuries and the people whose lives are impacted by them. Not only the service members and their families, but also the surgeons who treat them.
The more I started thinking about the impact of and how these kinds of war injuries and the impact of war might have on the art of wounded warriors, certainly the art of their family members and friends who have been impacted by those injuries, the art by trauma surgeons who take care of the troops. And I just thought, I wonder if we could tell this story through the art of those affected by war injuries. And then I thought, well, let's try it.
The exhibit would be called Wounded in Action, and she asked for pieces created by military personnel, orthopedic surgeons, and civilians whose lives have been affected in some form by war and wartime injuries. The art in the exhibit depicts some of the most haunting aspects of war, from sculptures of limbless soldiers to photographs of stretchers and hospital beds. Audiences are confronted with the harsh realities of combat in a variety of artistic media. Yet the exhibit is not a one-note presentation of depressing images. The pictures would show adults, children, soldiers, and civilians walking with prosthetic limbs and returning to normal lives, remind us of the courage and strength displayed during wartime and the hope that is necessary to continue on. The latest U.S. Department of Defense report shows that over 12,000 U.S. service members in Afghanistan and nearly 32,000 U.S. service members in Iraq have been wounded in action. According to the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, about 70% of all wartime injuries sustained are musculoskeletal injuries, and 55% of wartime injuries affect the extremities. Dr. Dale C. Smith, professor and chairman of the Department of Medical History at the Uniformed Services University of Health Sciences in Bethesda, Maryland, explains the reason for this.
The problem when you go to war is the arms and legs have to remain mobile and so exposed to enemy action. And so the wounds of war tend to impact the extremities, the arms and legs, more heavily than the trunk. When the trunk is unprotected, there's frequently a higher mortality. But like the knights of old with their armor, we now have modern bullet-resistant vests that protect the trunk and abdomen. We have helmets to protect the head. But the arms and legs are still exposed and so are damaged.
The American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons reports that while the survival rate for injured soldiers in the Vietnam War was 76.4%, military and medical advancements have increased the survival rate today to 90.4%. Certainly, the advancements and progress of medical knowledge as a whole have contributed to the higher survival rate. But Dr. S. Terry Canale, who treated those who had been injured during the Vietnam War and currently serves as the chairman of the Department of Orthopedic Surgery at the University of Tennessee Campbell Clinic, explains that it is not only how we have learned to treat orthopedic injuries, but also a better understanding about what exactly those injuries consist of that has helped the field progress.
Well, you know, I think better care in the field on an emergency basis has been the predominant thing. And the other thing is probably the type of injuries we're getting are limb-threatening and limb loss, but maybe not necessarily life-threatening.
Dr. Smith echoes these statements and continues to explain that the high number of extremity injuries throughout historical conflicts has had great effect in teaching surgeons about handling infections and amputations.
Since Vietnam, the development of robotics has allowed dramatic increases in the effectiveness of artificial limbs and the rehabilitation work from orthopedics and the connecting up of the nerves, the muscles, and the bones to these computer-driven limbs has been the great advance of this most recent war.
As Sandra Gordon mentions, these orthopedic developments have deeply affected the hundreds of thousands of wounded veterans. Smith says the advancements that have been made in the field of military orthopedics and the development of prostheses have allowed soldiers to return to their lives.
The development of prosthesis that can move and function are allowing soldiers to return to duty. They're allowing rehabilitation into jobs that are much more meaningful, so that the veterans of this war have, as a result of improved robotic prostheses, many, many more valuable roles in society, both back in the military and in civil life, than wounded veterans in the past.
Christine Markham, the mother of a soldier who was injured while serving in Afghanistan and a featured artist in the Wounded in Action art exhibit, says,
"He is back to his life. He has a very functioning prosthetic for his right leg. He's a below-the-knee amputee. And he is able to do, I would say, most everything he always loved doing. He's definitely trying everything he loves and doing most of it. It's just at not quite the same level. But I think he's come to peace with it, and he's healthy, and he's alive, and we all recognize how important that is."
Markham's piece, a mixed-media book entitled One Sentence, is one of the many in the exhibit that takes us through the impact of wartime injuries and reminds us of all those working hard behind the scenes to help injured soldiers back to normal, productive lives. Gordon says the Wounded in Action art exhibit is a tribute to U.S. troops and the risks that they face every day, but it is also a tribute to the surgeons who treat them.
But I don't think any of us ever realize the toll it takes on them and, you know, how important it is to them that they really do a good job and that they really help people to come back and to live productive lives, to feel good about themselves.
With over 100 emotionally charged pieces of art, the Wounded in Action art exhibit will be on display at the Chicago Cultural Center through August 31st before continuing its tour through other cities in the United States. For more information about when the exhibit will be in a town near you, visit their website at woundedinactionart.org. For War News Radio, I'm Clara Izupitis.
This is War News Radio. There are many images from Iraq and Afghanistan of service members in combat, flying planes, moving supplies, interacting with civilians, and returning home, but there are very few of their artwork. The Graffiti of War Project is trying to amend that by collecting the art on tanks, old buildings, and portable toilets and publishing it on their website, and ultimately in a book. Eliana Bisgard Church spoke with the founder of the group to learn more about the power of these art forms.
Jason Doc Parsons has seen the harsh images of the Iraq War up close, but he has seen another type of image of which many are unfamiliar.
It's inside of an ammo dump area. It's an office building. On the side of the wall, there's this painting of a lighthouse with the beach. It looks like somebody just took this off of somebody's house inside America and it placed it there. It's almost like just a little piece of home right there in the middle of the desert. That's what kind of most of these soldiers do, is they bring a little piece of themselves and they put it on these T-walls out here, and then that's like their mark on the world, but it's also for them too. It reminds them of home.
Parsons has seen not only paintings, but also cartoons and murals of war zones. An ex-combat medic who deployed to Iraq in 2005, he has begun the Graffiti of War Project, collecting the art created by servicemen and women in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Kuwait. He originally relied on service members to send in photos of their art, but with the drawdown of forces in Iraq, Parsons decided to go right to the source. I spoke with him about the project from Basra, Iraq, where he is currently collecting images with the military's permission. Thanks so much for your time. So, when and how did the project begin?
It all started kind of like a brainchild of mine while I was on deployment in Ramadi, Iraq, in 2006 with the 54th Engineer Battalion. We had toured a few different bases doing convoy logistical patrols, and all of us were sitting around talking about all the art that we saw and how soldiers should document it. Of course, you know, things change, your life kind of gets in the way, and deployments and everything else. I got out of the Army in 2009, didn't really do anything with it, and then the spring of 2010, my wife and I decided that we were going to start this project up.
So was there one specific moment then that made you decide to begin the project?
In late 2009, I had gotten out of the military, and I've been diagnosed with PTSD and TBI, which is a mild traumatic brain injury. And so I think getting out of the military was it was difficult for me to go straight into the civilian world. One of my teachers, he was my English professor, he was helpful to me during my school time, and he said that, you know, you should start writing more. And my psychiatrist told me that I needed like a hobby, you know, something to keep my mind busy while I go through PTSD and MTBI. Well, I remember when I wanted to do this, you know, my wife was like, this is something that you've always wanted to do. You've always wanted to write again. And so that's kind of how it came about.
So what is the range of art and also emotion that you've seen?
As far as emotions goes, you really get more of a sense of that inside like porta potties, inside of areas to where they can remain a little bit more anonymous. You could see different scrawlings when things are going really rough. You know, why are we here? You get some of those, or you get impeach Bush, or take me home. I wish I was back home. I have no friends. I'm all alone. Stuff like that.
Have you participated in creating any of these images? Was it something you found a therapy in?
I did do one inside of a porta potty as like a tribute to my wife before I left Kuwait. It was my first deployment. I had just gotten out of EIT and I was nervous. I wasn't sure what was going to happen, and she was back home pregnant. We just got married and we hadn't been, you know, apart before this, so it was difficult for me. You know, I wrote a little tribute just to get a little bit of the emotion out. I think that's kind of what we're trying to hit on. Not only is this a different type of history book, but then it also kind of promotes art as therapy, which is something that we feel is very therapeutic for a lot of people that have PTSD, MTBI, and even outward wounds, physical wounds such as amputations, burns, and perhaps this might help ease some of the burden of the mental and emotional stress of it all.
And what about the people not in the service? What do you think showcasing images to the public, what kind of power could that have?
I think it shows a different side of the war. It's just a unique perspective for the public to see instead of the usual CNN. This is, you know, the body count, or this is, you know, who got hurt this time. Kind of a more individual state that the public can see that perhaps they haven't seen before.
Are there any other images that really stick out in your mind that would be good to share?
Golly, there's so many.
I bet.
Well, I really like the one that has, it's Will Ferrell, him as Anchorman. And it says "Stay Classy, Iraq." I like that one because it kind of brings some humor. I know in 2006 when I was here, it was a lot different. It was a lot more rough. There was a lot more combat, and as a combat medic, it was difficult to deal with some of the injuries and everything else. So any type of comic relief that we got was well taken. We really needed that.
That's something that's hard to imagine, and I think many Americans would agree with that. Since we have less than 1% of our population serving in these conflicts. So what do you think is at stake when Americans are disconnected from the wars?
I'd say it's an entire generation of people that have gone out there and sacrificed some sort of themselves, whether it be their entire lives, you know, the ones that don't come back, then, and the ones that do come back, they're never the same. There's such little regard for patriotism, discipline, and I don't know how you couldn't look at them as superheroes, because that's exactly what they are. And I think that the closer each community gets to these men and women when they come home, and these guys will come home to not just open arms, but to understanding. That's, I think, what really counts, is that understanding. So the more people could be like that, I think it'll bring our nation closer together, definitely.
Parsons explained that the project will also cover the civilian side of the conflicts through their art, and foresees graffiti of war potentially expanding to cover other conflicts, including the Arab Spring. For now, though, Parsons and his partners will continue collecting images, finishing with Kuwait and Iraq this summer, and moving on to complete Afghanistan's roundup next summer. There are sure to be many sights along this journey.
These soldiers are going to look at this book and remember, you know, the memories of fallen friends, or maybe the memories of their first time when they were young and had to go out here and do this. Makes me kind of proud that we're able to do this with this book, you know, to help people kind of remember what it was so they don't forget.
To see some of the images or get involved with the Graffiti of War project, visit their website at graffitioofwar.com. For War News Radio, I'm Eliana Biscard Church.
That's our show for this week.
War News Radio is a production of Swarthmore College.
Visit us online to listen to archive shows, learn more about the program, or subscribe to our podcast. That's at warnewsradio.org.
You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook to keep up with War News Radio between the shows. Look for the links on our site.
Our behind-the-scenes crew this week includes Clara Isoupidis, Eliana Biscard Church, and Dina Sherhan. Our producer is Jim McMillan. I'm Sarah Dwider.
And I'm Stuart Russell. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Thank you.